The 2020 MLB season will be one like any other that we have seen before. A 60-game sprint in just over 2 months to decide who will be playing in October in a format that lends itself to the unpredictable. But that's where Greg Peterson comes in. He's got you covered daily, highlighting elements and angles that will be essential to know, along with his picks with every single game on every single day. Now it is time for the Baseball Betting Podcast with Greg Peterson.
Hey, warm hello, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Podcast. Myself, Greg Peterson. We've got a terrific show because for one, in the first segment, we're going to be recapping one of the wildest World Series games we've ever seen. I mean, that was absolutely insane. So there is that. And then in the second segment, while the World Series game was going on, I would say in the seventh inning, I had a chat with Danny Vietti. Does absolutely terrific work with CBS Sports. We're just going to be taking a look at pretty much every aspect of this series. Everything from the terrific fielding to the guys that are going to be going in Game 5. Clayton Kershaw along Tyler Glasnow, these bullpens. And just some of the little logistical things like the roof being open out there in Arlington. So nice in-depth conversation about what we're all seeing with the World Series in the second segment, and then in the final segment, gonna give you guys my side and total for Game 5 of the World Series. It's something I like to call Touch 'em All. First things first, I always love to be able to answer your Twitter questions on this podcast. You're able to fire that in one of two ways. My Twitter timeline at JRS41. Keep in mind, letters DM to me does not matter, so do not go for the direct messages. Meanwhile, if you send them in via an Apple Podcast review, you're able to rate this podcast 5 stars because it helps out the exposure of this podcast. More people are unaware of it. They get alerted that, hey, this is a very good podcast. Greg Peterson, an absolutely enlightening gentleman, and he's doing all that he can, so you're able to help out in that way as well. Did not get in any today, but what we do have is our good friends at Book It Sports doing a great job of helping me out with this podcast. They're going to be launching November 1st. You guys have heard me talk about them a little bit, but think about it as the interface that you've always wanted for sports betting without the things that you hate about, like social media, hashtag gambling, Twitter, and everything like that. You're able to get live line moves, live scores. You're able to post up all your picks, and more importantly, you get to avoid all the cat memes like my mom shares on Facebook, and you're able to follow them on Twitter at Book It H. So, you know what? With them helping us out, let's get into what we all saw from Major League Baseball on Saturday with one of the wildest Game 4s that you're ever going to see, and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
Games from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the Rowdy Recap.
And today's recap is brought to you by my good friends at MyBookie, who know that this is the best time of year when it comes to the World Series, and that is certainly true as we now have a best of three in the World Series, and you're able to bet on a little bit of everything at MyBookie. If you're looking for player props, side and total like I give you on this podcast, so much more, you're able to do so at MyBookie. College basketball season is a month away, so they're getting you set for that. They're getting you all hyped up for the World Series. And to help you guys out with your first deposit at MyBookie, all you need to do is type in the promo code OVERTIME. That's all one word, OVERTIME. And you're able to get your first deposit double dollar for dollar up to $1,000. So that way you're able to fire in on all the NFL action on Sunday. You're able to get in on these World Series games and so much more. So you're able to get a little bit of that. And we got a whole lot of drama in Game 4 as it was Brett Phillips who wound up having the game-winning hit. 8-7 the final. Obviously, if you wound up having the total over, well, that was a very easy winner. But meanwhile, the side, it was very much a sweat, to say the least, and you had a whole bunch of long balls in this one. For the LA Dodgers, you had a couple guys wind up coming alive in this one. How about Justin Turner down for what? His second home run of this World Series, and then you also had Mr. Corey Seager get another home run. His seventh in the last two series, but Randy Arozarena has now made postseason history. His ninth home run of the postseason, he goes deep off of Julio Arias, and Mr. Julio Arias gave up a few home runs in this one, including one to Hunter Renfroe. That is his first of this World Series, and then Kevin Kiermaier off of Pedro Baez wound up going deep in the seventh inning, his second of this series. You also had Mr. Brandon Lau go deep off of Mr. Baez, his third of this postseason and his third of this series. As for Lau, this is a guy that came into the World Series a couple games ago, and he was hitting like .115 for the entire postseason. He has really been able to come alive for this team. We're going to be talking to Danny Vietti about that a little bit later, but obviously you wind up having what happened in the ninth inning with Kenley Jansen on the mound. He winds pitching to Brett Phillips. He winds up giving up a hit. You wind up having Mr. Chris Taylor fumbling the ball. You have Kenley Jansen not backing up home plate as you wind up having Randy Rosarena, I think, was the runner on that one. He was sort of caught in the middle. It looked like it was going to be going to extra innings, and no, that was not the case. And for the Tampa Bay Rays, they were bailed out by that because Ryan Yarbrough, certainly not his world's best start. 3 1/3 innings, he gives up 2 runs on 5 hits, including 2 bombs. You then from there have Ryan Thompson give the team 2/3 of an inning. Peter Fairbanks gave up a run in an inning. Diego Castillo, ditto for him. Aaron Loop, he gives up 2 runs while recording, 1 out, and then you had Nick Anderson come in for 4 outs. He wound up giving up a run, and then John Curtis with 2 S's on the end of Curtis gets a win by recording the final 4 outs. Meanwhile, for the LA Dodgers, it was a so-so start for Mr. Eudio Arias. He gives up 2 runs, but only goes 4 2/3 innings, punching out 9, and then from there, Blake Treinen and along with Pedro Baez, they had rough outings. Both of these guys gave up 2 runs for Treinen. He only recorded 2 outs for Baez. Probably left him in a little bit too long. 1 2/3 innings. Adam Kolarik and Bersuter Gratterall were able to hold down the fort, and then Dave Roberts brings in Kenley Jansen in the 9th inning, and we all know what happened. And now we've got a series tied 2-2 with every total in this series going over so far. So a lot of intrigue there. Our man Danny Vietti, who does terrific work with CBS Sports, he's keeping up with all this. He's taking a look at the nuances, all these rosters, some of the guys that might be a little bit off the radar that are making an impact. So we're going to be talking to him just about all the nuts and bolts of this series. Look forward to Game 5 and so much more. And that's on the other side right here on the Baseball Betting Podcast with myself, Craig Peterson, now powered by Bookin' Sports.
Greg is calling in a pinch hitter from the Overtime Network hotline.
We're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Podcast. Myself, Greg Peterson, now powered by Bookin' Sports. Bookin' Sports is the app that's coming your way November 1st that is going to change the way that you look at sports betting. It's everything that you love about gambling. Twitter, it's got a great interface. At the same time, it cuts out the things that you don't like random memes, people having conversations that, well, deal with controversial topics that don't involve sports and so much more. You're able to follow them at Bookin' HQ, and you're able to follow our next guest on Twitter at his name, Danny Vietti. Last name is spelled V-I-E-T-T-I. Does absolutely terrific work out there with CBS Sports' MLB coverage. He has joined me quite a bit, and Danny, it is always great to get you aboard. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. We got an absolute humding in Game 4, so it's a good time to be alive, good time to be a baseball fan.
Absolutely, and it's a good time to be named Randy Arozarena. Another home run yesterday. Absolutely insane what this guy is doing. What I think is bigger for the Rays and what gives them a little bit of a shot here moving forward is that now it's a little bit more than Randy Arozarena. Brandon Lau, who wasn't quite an MVP candidate during the regular season, in my opinion, but certainly had a very good season. He's been able to come alive. He had a home run as well, and I think that if there's a little bit more balance with this Rays lineup, they, at the bare minimum, can at the very least win another game. I think it's going to be very fascinating, but I think that was huge for the Rays.
Yeah, going into the series, I kind of knew somebody needed to step up, and it had to be one of their guys. By one of their guys, I mean, it couldn't have been one of their platoon guys that was only playing every other game. You knew what you're going to get out of Randy Arozarena. Everyone else after that, you weren't quite sure, because Brandon Lau was great for the first month of the regular season. After that, he kind of slacked off. And then once the postseason hit, he really slacked off, really struggled. Now he's starting to come alive here in this World Series, which is great for the Rays. And of course, it's really been opposite field for Brandon Lau. That's really been a difference maker for him. They needed somebody other than Randy Arozarena to provide Randy Arozarena some protection. What Arozarena is doing this postseason is uncharted territory. We haven't seen this ever. 9 home runs in the postseason. That's more than we've ever seen in Major League Baseball. And I know that he had that extra wild card series, and people are going to hold that against them. But I looked at the numbers. Barry Bonds, it took him 17 games to get his 8 home runs. It's taken Randy Arozarena 17 games. It was one game more than Barry Bonds to get one more home run. So what Arozarena is doing, he's making history, and he's not doing it with much protection around him. They needed a guy like Brandon Lau to step up. That's exactly what he's done.
I'm in total agreement with you. It's been an absolutely amazing year for Randy Arozarena, but being able to get that help is so big. But the Rays are going to need to get a little bit of help in Game 5 since they had to dive deep into their bullpen. And in that respect, the Dodgers did as well. But taking a look at the Game 5 starting matchup, it was very encouraging that Clayton Kershaw was able to get things going. He was able to have that great start in Game 1. And he's going to be going up against a guy in Tyler Glasnow that, let's face it, his last couple starts, he hasn't necessarily been terrific. He's given up at least 4 runs in 3 of them. And then the other one, he was just pretty much a pseudo opener, going 2 1/3 innings in that deciding game against the New York Yankees. And I do think that it is very big that Kershaw is getting going for the Dodgers, because you can tell that this is a guy that he's going out there on a mission. This has been, in my opinion, his best postseason ever. And if the Dodgers are able to get a good start out of Kershaw and they're able to win game five, it's just pretty much current, in my opinion, in this one.
There's no doubt. And if you had told me a couple of years ago that Clayton Kershaw would have been the X factor as opposed to the guy that they absolutely need, I would have said you're crazy, because Clayton Kershaw is always supposed to be the guy. He's always supposed to be the guy that, you know, puts the team on his back, but that's not the case anymore. They're putting it all on the shoulders of Walker Buehler and some of their other younger starters, but really Clayton Kershaw is the X factor now. He can be really the difference maker, because I think the Dodgers have enough talent. They have enough depth in order to win a World Series without Clayton Kershaw succeeding. But if they do have Clayton succeeding too, that really puts them over the top. That gives them so much more depth than Tampa Bay. And you mentioned Tyler Glasnow. We know about Glasnow now. He's a guy that throws incredibly hard. And he has, if not one of the best curveballs in the game, he has the best curveball in the game. The problem is, sometimes he gets this little wild hair up his nose. He allows a free pass, and then he's susceptible to the long ball. And that turns into crooked numbers. It's fine if you can give up a long ball. There's a lot of really good pitchers in this game that give up the long ball. Gerrit Cole is one of them. Gives up tons of home runs. But he limits them, and he limits them to solo home runs. That's what Glasnow needs to find a way to be better in that. Too many times he allows free passes, and then immediately after he'll give up the long ball. That's when it turns into a crooked number. Give up a long ball, give up your solo shot, but understand, just command the zone. And if you're not allowing those free passes, you eliminate those crooked numbers. Give up a run here, give up a run there, and you walk away with two runs in your start. But the problem is, too many free passes lead to too many long balls immediately after. Turns into crooked numbers. That's why Glasnow has really struggled. His ERA is over 5 in his career in the postseason. We know the stuff that he has, but he needs to find a way to put it all together, especially if the Rays want a chance against the depth that the Dodgers have in their lineup.
And to your point, 6 walks in that game one start. And for the postseason, Glasnow giving up right around 5.3 walks per 9 innings. And Clayton Kershaw, he's given up 3 walks in 4 starts. So no doubt, I think that that's going to be a little bit of an X factor. And what else has been really a big X factor as well is some of the things that don't necessarily show up on the stat sheet. We've seen it from both teams, the way that Manuel Margot has been able to play the field. Obviously, you're going back a little bit more to the series against the Houston Astros, but you even wound up having Hunter Renfro made a pair of like sliding slash diving catches. That's absolutely insane. And then we know what Mookie Betts has been able to do. He's been playing the field absolutely magnificently during the postseason. He's had some critical stolen bases in this series. I think that that's big. Now, obviously, Cody Bellinger getting thrown out at third base in the game yesterday. That's not necessarily the world's greatest base running, but you just take a look at those little things. And I think both of these teams do a solid job of it. I think that it could be one of those just sort of bang bang plays in game five. One of those guys that they do something that you don't necessarily look at when it comes to the box score as being a big difference maker.
It's funny you mentioned that, because I was thinking the exact same thing. So it's 2020, right? Baseball in 2020. And what dominates this game? It's home runs. And, you know, a lot of teams now, you're willing to give up a little defense to have a little bit more pop in your lineup. There's no more bunting, no more stolen bags. What have we seen in this 2020 World Series? We've seen Mookie steal every bag he possibly can, getting us all free tacos twice some and three some times. He's been stealing all over the place. You've seen a safety squeeze with Austin Barnes. And then you've seen some long balls too. Don't get me wrong. It's still 2020, but you've seen incredible defense too. And it's been defense and pitching, that old cliche. Defense and pitching wins championships. That's been the case. That's the only reason Tampa Bay is here. They've had absolute lightning in a bottle with Randy Arozarena at the plate. But we mentioned it earlier. It really has been clutch hitting from the rest of the lineup and a one-man wrecking crew at the Arozarena. After that, it's been up to their pitching and their bullpen that's really gotten them to that point. And even with the Dodgers, they scored a lot of runs against San Diego, certainly. But against Atlanta, their pitching and their defense had to buckle down in order for them to come back from that 3-1 deficit. So it's really ironic, if you will, to see that much as baseball has changed over the years, as much as hitting philosophies have changed, the launch angle and all this other jazz, it all goes back to the old style. Pitching, defense, and a little bit of small ball can go a long ways towards winning that title.
Total agreement with you there, as we do have Danny Vietti, does absolutely terrific work with CBS Sports, joining me right here on the podcast. And then when I just take a look at the lineups in general, I do think that there's no doubt about it. The Dodgers have a little bit more firepower, and I think we both agree upon this. When the roof has been open out there in Arlington, it has been very much a hitter's ballpark. It played a little bit more pitcher friendly when the roof was closed a few nights ago, but I certainly think that that's a little bit of an X factor in this series as well. And I do think that when you have these sort of little nuances that favor the Dodgers, especially with them playing so many games in this postseason out there in Arlington. Now the Rays, you got to figure, are getting a little bit more comfortable with the dimensions. But I think that that's another thing that unintentionally with going to this neutral site for all these games in the World Series has been a bit of an edge for the Dodgers as well.
I think that's a great point you brought up. And it reminds me of another kind of stat I was leaning into today. The Dodgers have now hit more home runs than the Texas Rangers have in their own home ballpark, which is funny in itself. But going back to your point about defensively, I think it has made an impact. And it's not to say that Tampa Bay has played poorly, but comfortability is a real thing. That's something that I think teams and players take for granted sometimes with home field advantage. It's not just having the loud crowd on a big pitch. It's not just having your own, you know, locker to go to. It's comfortability. It's aware of your surroundings being more comfortable in the situation, especially in a playoff situation where very few situations are at all comfortable. And so when you're the Dodgers and you've played 13 games now at Globe Life Field, that's a factor. And I think Major League Baseball, had they looked back on it, maybe they would have done it in a little bit different of a fashion. Maybe they would have sent them to at all the games, maybe at all the Texas games at Minute Maid Park. That way, one of the teams didn't have the advantage. I don't think Tampa Bay is going to look at the series if they do fall to the Dodgers. I don't think they're going to look at it and say, look, we had an unfair advantage. The Dodgers have been playing there for the past few weeks. It was unfair. At the same time, and I, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. Again, I think Major League Baseball, if they ever, you know, hopefully it never happens again, but if they ever have to do a bubble again, maybe they do things differently, because I do think it's given the Dodgers a little bit of an advantage defensively, especially with Cody Bellinger, the plays he's been making out there in center field.
Oh, I totally agree with you. But what I do like about what the MLB did for this series rather than the previous series is that now you've got the built-in days off, because we know that that's critical for these bullpens. They were getting a little bit worn out, as you can tell. Both of these teams wound up going 7 games in their series. And I do think the fact that you've maintained these normal days off have been big for the series, because without it, then I feel like things could really be going haywire, and it would be a little bit more of an advantage to the Rays, because with the Dodgers in previous years, you've had a guy like a Kenta Maeda that's been a little bit of a jack of all trades. Obviously, Julio Rios wound up coming up very big in that series against the Atlanta Braves with that 3-inning outing to be able to give the team the win ultimately in game 7. But I do think that if you didn't have the days off, that would be a little bit more of an advantage to the Rays, just because they're used to it a little bit more than the Dodgers. But I do like the fact that we've got the format that we do for this World Series.
Certainly. And it really goes back to what I've been preaching all season long. I understand Major League Baseball wants to get the season in. Frankly, they want to get it done as fast as possible, just because of the conditions that we're playing in, the way that the world's working with coronavirus right now. They want to get it done. And it's understandable. At the same time, the whole reason we're in this mess, the whole reason we're having a condensed season is health. And when you're having these players play back-to-backs for so long, it's not healthy. It's not healthy for their arms, because they are trying to win a championship. And if you're throwing the same relief arm out there 3 straight days like Diego Castillo, that's not healthy. And now you're putting their health in jeopardy when the whole reason we're in this mess is health. So I couldn't agree more with your point in that I like the days off, back to a little bit of regularity there. And 2, another kind of tangent there is, it kind of, they've done a nice job, Major League Baseball has, scheduling around the NFL. They didn't have a game on Thursday, which was the Thursday night football, and it was the presidential debate, and they are not having a game on Sunday either. That's important when you're talking about ratings and building the game. I think they strategized that well going into the series.
I totally agree with you. And a man that always strategizes very well with all the tweets that he sends out. He thinks very much about the articles that he pumps out for CBS Sports. That'd be you, Danny. You do absolutely amazing work for them. And you're always terrific whenever you join this podcast as well. We've appreciated it all year long. So let the good people at home know where they're able to follow you on social media. Obviously, the season is going to be ending very, very soon. But I know that you're going to be keeping things locked in when it comes to covering the great game of baseball. So let the good people know what's all on deck for you.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. You can catch all my latest on CBSSports.com. And of course, I'll be plugging those on my social handles at Danny Pietti.
And Danny does absolutely amazing work. You've heard him on this podcast quite a few times, brings it every single time. So big thanks to Danny Vietti for joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Podcast, now powered by Bookit Sports. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast I give you a sign total for Game 5 of the World Series and something you like to call Touch 'Em All.
Welcome back to the Baseball Betting Podcast with Greg Peterson as we're off to a quality start, and now it's time to walk it off in a grand fashion.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Podcast. Myself, Greg Peterson, now powered by Book It Sports. With Book It Sports, the app is going to be coming your way on both iPhone and Android on November 1st. It's going to be absolutely magnificent. They are funding so many podcasts like this one. The Parlay Cast, you've heard Jeff Parles on this podcast a few times, played her way with Olivia Moody. She's doing a great job along with someone who works over there at the South Point in their sports book as a ticket writer, Haley Hull. There is the Highline Podcast. That's a little bit more of a soccer podcast with our good buddy Tom Viola. And you're able to follow all that we're doing at Book It HQ as they're doing absolutely amazing work, just like Danny Vietti of CBS Sports is doing amazing work. So big thanks to him for joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Podcast. Now it is that time of the podcast that I give you a side and total for Game 5 of the World Series and something I like to call Touch 'Em All.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
As per usual, do note that any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter feed at JarenSquirty1. Obviously, it'd be a little bit unlikely to have a change here, but with that said, we have seen Clayton Kershaw, who is supposed to be the Game 5 starter, already get scratched from a start within the last 3 weeks, so you certainly have that going on, but with that said, let's dive into it. We're going in Las Vegas rotation order, as per usual. It's really easy to do that when you've only got one game, but it is 959-960 on the betting board as you've got the Tampa Bay Hot Shell Rays, and they are going to be playing against the LA Dodgers. Tampa Bay Rays are technically the home team, but this is a game that is taking place out there in Arlington, Texas, as Tyler Glasnow is going to be going for the Tampa Bay Rays. Meanwhile, Clayton Kershaw on the bump for the Dodgers. This total opened up at 7.5. We're seeing 1.75 out there. That over has just a -120, and the under is even, but seeing mostly 8s. And with those 8s, over and under both at -110, if you're looking at the Dodgers, you're going to be laying anywhere between -155 and -165. Meanwhile, your plus price here with the Tampa Bay Rays, anywhere between +143. And I am seeing as high as a +150 out there as well. And with Glasnow, we were talking about it with our good buddy Danny Vietti. This is just someone that I can't trust. He wound up having 6 walks in that game 1 start. I think that he's going to be a little bit better than that, but you certainly have a whole lot of susceptibility there. I think that it's going to be a little bit of a rough ride from there. Meanwhile, Clayton Kershaw, we know about his World Series struggles, more specifically his postseason struggles, but so far this postseason, 3 runs or fewer given up in every start, 2.88 ERA, and more importantly, 25 innings, he's only walked 3, 11.2 strikeouts per 9 innings. He has looked very good. Now, the Rays have been able to come alive. The game 1 start was before Brandon Lau was able to get going, and he has gotten cooking. He has got 3 home runs in the team's last 3 games. Obviously, we all know about Randy Arozarena. 9 home runs this postseason. That is a new record for any postseason. And heck, even Kevin Kiermaier was able to give the team a home run in Game 4. He's sitting above a 300. That's been a nice find for the team. G-Man Choi only getting a .143, but you can tell that the Dodgers really didn't want too much of a part of him. He issued 2 walks to him, and Brett Phillips, all of a sudden, a World Series hero. So you've got a little bit of that going on, but we know this with the LA Dodgers as well. Justin Turner down for what he has been able to heat up. He and Corey Seager for the series, both hitting above a 400. For Turner, .444. For Seager, .500. And for Seager, over the last 2 series, 7 home runs. He has been absolutely magnificent. And even though he's only hitting right around at .235 for the series, we all know about the impact that Mookie Betts has had on both this series and the series prior against the Atlanta Braves. He has been masterful out there in the field. He has been doing a great job of being able to steal some bases. And as a result, we were able to get some tacos. And then you've got a couple other guys that during the regular season weren't necessarily hitting the best, but here in the postseason have gotten going. Max Muncy hitting below a .200 during the regular season, and Jock Peterson at a .190 during the regular season. For Jock Peterson, now hitting a .375. He went 2-for-2 in Game 4, so he certainly did a great job as a pinch hitter. And then you got Max Muncy, .474 on base for the team. Now, with both of these teams, the bullpens have been gassed. Pedro Baez wound up having to record 5 outs. He went 25-plus pitches, so you can't think that he's going to be available. But Brusuter Graterol, you got to think, is going to be available. He only threw 7 pitches in that loss in Game 4. Kenley Jansen, he threw 21 pitches, and I don't know if he should ever be allowed to throw in a Dodgers uniform again. He has been that bad, so there is that. Meanwhile, you take a look at the Tampa Bay Rays. They certainly had to dive deep into their bullpen. Nick Anderson, 23 pitches, and let's face it, during this postseason, he hasn't necessarily been sharp. He's got an ERA north of 4, so I don't know if the team would necessarily want to go to him. Diego Castillo wound up giving up 1 run in his inning. He went 26 pitches, so the guys that you're probably looking for coming out of the bullpen for the Tampa Bay Rays team, and I've got to think that they're going to be looking at quite a few bullpen guys with the way that that the walks have been issued by Tyler Glass. So we wound up seeing him throw over 100 pitches in game one. That did not go as planned, but you got to think that maybe a guy like a Josh Fleming is going to be available. He was a bit of a opener slash starter during the regular season. Got to think that he might wind up going multiple innings. Aaron Slagers along with Shane McCallan both wind up not pitching in game four. So both of those guys you got to think are going to be available. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how the Rays strategize this, but ultimately I do think that Clayton Kershaw is going to be able to exact some of those demons of postseason's past. It certainly has been a rough ride for him just in the playoffs, but I think that he is a man on a mission. He would become the first pitcher in MLB history to go in 10 postseasons, get at least one start in every one of them, and not come away with a World Series title. I just look at Tyler Glass, and he's got the 100-mile-per-hour fastball, but he's been hit hard in this postseason, and he's been issuing too many walks for my liking. And with the LA Dodgers, a team that has scored at least 3 runs in now 24 out of the last 26 games, I think that they're going to get to him. Every game in this series has went over, so we're going to be riding with this over, and we're going to go with the Dodgers on the money line in case if we see some shenanigans out there in the bullpen. So that will wrap things up for the Baseball Betting Podcast on this Sunday. A big thanks to Danny Vietti, doing absolutely terrific work with CBS Sports, for joining me in the last segment. And if you like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. That'd be Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you ever have any questions for the podcast, one of two ways to be able to fire those in. My Twitter timeline, at JRSQuarty1. Once again, the letter Z to me mean does not matter. Or you could send them in via an Apple Podcast review. Rate this podcast 5 stars because it does help out the exposure and all that I do with this podcast. And from there, you're able to fire in your question, comment, concern, beef there. Also, a big thanks to Book It Sports for being a now proud sponsor of this podcast. And always a big thanks to you guys for tuning in. Hope you're all safe, healthy, and doing well. And I'll be coming at you guys once again tomorrow after Game 5. Thank you so much for tuning in.